And welcome to Marooned at Magbite's headquarters, day 375. Unbelievable. How are we all doing? Mike left the chat unattended for 15 minutes. I decided not to go in. I decided I'd wait and see what everybody else made of it. So... Mike was first. Oh, that's cheating, Mike. So, if we disqualify Mike, then Alex was first. Excellent. Hello, Alex. Hello, Anthony. Hello, Sarah. Hello, Renee. It's not who's in first, Renee. It's turning up that matters. Hello, Simon. Hello, Jonathan. Good grief, Jonathan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seventh. Jonathan. But hello and welcome to you anyway. Right, how are we all doing? Oh, we've got some excitement tonight. If you've read the email, you will know what that is. Hello, Kim! Oh, poor Jonathan, not doing good. Was it a bad day as well? Or was it just, you know, just one of those things? Like maybe you were playing with your gherkins for your dinner. Was it just that? Or was it a really bad day at work? I don't tend to have bad days at work. I'm very lucky. Although, having said that, I was a bit tired because I didn't get to bed till way after Mike had got up. But I did get some sleep in the end. Do you know, if you look at my watch, you'd be like, why are you asleep at 11 o'clock? But that's just me. That is just me. I also had to install, can't believe I've managed to use this machine this long, hadn't got GoToMeeting installed. Well, Zoom, that just shows you, doesn't it, how many people are now using Zoom rather than anything else. I haven't kept my eye on the news of the day, but, you know, that's probably a good thing. Did see the headlines last night, that's probably why I've left the news alone. You now need a passport to go to the pub. Luckily, I'm teetotal and I don't care. But how is that ever going to be manageable? Unless you're like chipped like a dog and they scan you on the way in, I'm not seeing that working. But, you know, we'll see. The pubs are up in arms about it anyway. And while you need whatever paperwork to get into a pub 50 yards from your front door, middle of May, you can fly off to Europe. I don't think that's the best idea Boris has ever had, but we'll see how it goes. Right, so I'm looking at the tech news. It's all rumour and speculation, isn't it? Doing my head in, all of it. Yak, 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 yak. What Apple might bring out, and if I see one more word about those AirTags. They've been predicted for the best part of the last 10 years, and we are still waiting. So, what do you think we'll see them this year? Give me a yes or a no in the chat. I mean, logic says if you keep saying yes, 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 in the end, you know, you will actually see them. I'm beginning to wonder if it's going to be in my lifetime. It's a bit like that. And what was the other thing that they did that with? Apart from the car. If I hear one more word about the car. But they're not too bad about the car, to be honest. But the AirTags, no. It's like, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. No. No, they're not. No. When they finally do, we'll all hear about it. But until then. Right. It was quite a good day for Jonathan until he didn't get in first or even second again. Oh, Jonathan. And to think, if only you'd have checked a little bit earlier because you had 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Oh, Alex Steele. I've not heard of Alex Steele. Tell me more. Oh, I'll tell you what I did see today. And on the one hand, it made total sense. And on the other, I'm like, I hadn't clocked that. Joe Biden giving his first press conference. I thought, how has he been president for 2 months and not given a press conference? The only thing I have seen from him in the last 2 months was him falling up the stairs on his way into a plane. And I read that first and I thought, well, you know, cut the guy some slack. He's getting on a bit. And we've all tripped up a stair every now and then, haven't we? But that was rather a spectacular trip up a stair. 3 times. Yeah, do you think it would have been wise to have somebody with him holding his arm on the way up? Falling once, unfortunate. Twice, starting to get concerned. Three times, let's get a chairlift next time. Who saw that? It was a couple of weeks ago now, but when they said he'd tripped, I thought, don't be mean. And then I saw it. Every president you've had has tripped on those stairs. Well, they then did show you many other presidents tripping up on the stairs. You know, they're the president. Wouldn't you think either would they should do something with them? Or is it some kind of challenge? Can a president make it up the stairs? Did Trump trip up on them? I think they showed you Barack Obama and Clinton. Was there one from Bush as well? But I didn't see one from Trump. And I'm sure if they had one, we'd be hearing about it. Well, Alex Steele is a YouTube forger. Great guy, good editing and cool disposition. Right, I shall have to have a look at that. Okay, CQ Deb, CQ. I'm with Jonathan here. It amazes me how many people are obsessed with going to the pub. You'd rather give mum a hug than get a pint. Well, yeah, that's where we are. Obviously, that would be a bit tricky with my mum, but there's always Mike's mum. Whenever somebody says, like, oh, I'm really looking forward to, mentally I'm filling it in for them before they've even said it, going to the pub. And it going to the pub. Now, Mike and I love going to Bramley Farm, it serves alcohol. It's more of a gastro thing for us, though. It's the food, not the drink. I certainly have never had anything alcoholic there. And I don't think Mike has. Lola! Lola, what are you doing? Come on, come and settle down. Come and settle down with Mummy. There might even be a dentist stick in it, if you're a good girl. No, you're just going to stand behind me. She does that, you know. I need wing mirrors on this chair. So we're actually going out for a drink? No. And if you may remember, eons ago, we talked about a pub. It was like within the first 5 weeks of lockdown. And it was the pub that the Catanians go to for their drinks evenings. I think that's a delicate way of saying what they do there. And anecdotally, we were hearing from people on Facebook that this pub was the centre of an outbreak. The pub were saying nothing. In the end, the pub got deep cleaned, which was kind of like acknowledging that there was an issue. Turns out now, not only, well, this certainly didn't come out at the time, they got fined because they were opening illegally and people were actually going in. So I agree, Jonathan. What is this mystique with a pub? I mean, usually they're filthy. And they're full of drunk people, which doesn't appeal to me. But that's what most people seem to want to do. But to me, it would be nice to just be able to do like safe things or safer things. So maybe like a barbecue or something. I just think the way it's going, the figures are rising in Europe. And Boris is busy saying, well, you know, bumble, holidays in May. And it will wash up on the shores. And I thought, not if we brick the airports up and the Channel Tunnel, then it won't. But he doesn't seem to be of the same opinion. Oh, and his MPs are even worse. They don't seem to like logic at all. I thought better of them. Clearly, I should have listened to Simon and thought nothing of them. But yet the pub thing, no, that's not going to work for me. Isn't Trump scared of stairs? He had to use a ramp. I had no idea about this. Wow. No, he did not trip up the stairs or fall on them. Stairlift would be a good idea. Well, it's getting that way. I mean, that was just spectacular. Anybody can trip once. But that was like, I mean, he basically tripped his way up the entire stairs. Oh, but dear me. Fell a few months ago and hurt his ankle. Wasn't that when he fell over his dog? Who... Incidentally, once he'd arrived at the Capitol, didn't he bite a security guy and he got excommunicated back to wherever he came from? Your politics are every bit as crazy as ours, I'm telling you. Oh. There was the thing, well, the Theresa May thing. Didn't he take her hand, which was quite condescending? You know, I can't see him taking the hand of a male leader and guide her down the stairs or a ramp or whatever. Well, at least there's something you see with Trump. He never fell up or down the stairs. And considering he was, not as old as Biden, but older than some other presidents. One thing he did right, crying out loud. Right, I'm seeing links coming in here now, which I want to check. But who read the mail? Who read the reminder mail? Because you probably don't need reminders by now, do you? 300 and odd days in. it looks like a video of Trump. Oh, that's the Biden one, isn't it? I'm loving that. That is very cleverly done. Very cleverly done. Oh, genius. When is Anthony joining? Anthony is joining anytime he likes. So we need to connect on Skype. So what's the best way to... Well, I've given Anthony my details. So if you ping me, like, what are you supposed to do on here? You know what I'm like with Skype. I use it like a telephone, which means about once every Preston Guild. I think you need to connect or something. If you put my name, Elaine Giles, no space, in the people, and then try and connect, then I can say, yes, I know this person. So that's probably the best way to go. So if we try that, and then when you come on, when we do the audio, you'll go straight through to live. We learnt our lesson with Jonathan, didn't we, Jonathan? We now have a very smooth entry. So put my name in the box in the top left and then say connect and it should be fine, she said. So we'll wait for that to happen. Good night, Jonathan. You'll have to catch up again every 4 years. Oh, I think it's more than that, Alex. Right. Hello.
Every 4 years.
Oh, I think it's more than that, Alex. Right. I think you're there. But we've got some feedback.
Hello.
Hello.
You're gonna need... That sounds better.
Ah, I can hear you.
And we can hear you. Hello and welcome.
Wonderful.
You okay there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Good.
It's first time I've ever done it with Skype.
Yes. I have a love-hate relationship with Skype, but it works reasonably well with the wind in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, are you going to share what it is you do with us?
Yes, well, basically, for people who don't know, my name's Anthony, and I work for a charity which supports people who are blind and partially sighted. My initial job was to teach people how to use computers. So I advise people on computers, mobile phones, other technology for blind and partially sighted people.
Mm-hmm.
And I also generally run the place as well, because there's just two of us running it. So you know, it's very interesting. It's a really interesting job.
So how long have you done it?
I've done it since 2003. I initially started... I was hired just to do computer training. So at the time it was teaching people how to use things like Microsoft Word and Excel and Microsoft Access. And over the years it's changed now. So, you know, as mobile devices have become more popular, we're now moving on to using those a lot more.
I'd imagine so. Has it improved? Has support improved over those years?
It has. Certainly one thing that has improved is the fact that back in 2003, for example, on Windows always had a screen reader which was called Narrator, but it was rather dire. You know, it would get you onto Windows and then you'd have to use another product to actually access a computer. A screen reader is a piece of software that reads out what appears on the screen. Whereas now, Windows has quite a good screen reader built into it, which is important because screen reader software can cost anywhere from £400 to £800 on top of what you buy in your computer. And also Mac already has VoiceOver built into it. So, you know, that obviously makes that accessible out of the box.
Wow, that is a cost, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the problems. You would sort of show somebody a piece of software and they would be like, oh, that's absolutely fantastic. How much is it? And, you know, it's £400, which if you're working isn't too bad, or if you're going to college, because you can get funding for it. But if you're not, then unfortunately you have to pay for it yourself.
Is it linked to one machine, or if you had sort of two or three machines, would you be able to put it on all of them?
What you can do is have for one of the packages, you can have a dongle. So you can put the dongle in the machine that you're using, and that will let you use the screen reader. Back in 2003, though, you had to install it on one machine, and then you'd have to make sure you always use that machine.
That's not good, is it?
So it was very expensive, you know, for people actually just to get into using computers.
Yeah. I remember it would be the mid to late 90s, and I was teaching Access, I think it was, which is complicated enough to start with. And the gentleman arrived and he was using something. We needed to use his machine, and he was using something called JAWS.
Yes, yeah.
You know, the admiration I had for the guy, he had to like keep in his head a kind of visualization of what the screen looked like, and then it was talking back to him. I was talking to him.
Yeah.
And I thought, how difficult must that be?
And it's very difficult for somebody who's visually impaired to learn in a group environment, because for example, we all know what it's like if you're doing a class, you know. A message might pop up on a student's screen, and for most people, they can just say, oh, what's that? And they know to just get rid of it. And the problem for a visually impaired student is they might have to sit there and wait until the tutor can come round to them and sort of say, oh, this is what's happened, or they might not even have an indication that something's gone wrong. So, you know, one thing that we do is we do one-to-one tuition. And then that way people can just learn, you know, at their own rate. Because even simple things, if you're not really familiar with computers, does take a lot longer if you can't see on the screen and you're relying on things such as magnification and speech.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that. How long would you normally take to do that? Is it in our sessions? Over what kind of period of time? And when do you consider, or when do they consider, they're competent to like go without the training wheels?
What we do is we do an hour and a half session, and we do it over 12 weeks, so we'll do a 12-week block. But it's very sort of informal, so it means that people can just sort of, we'll talk to them, and we'll sort of say, it depends what they want, because some people actually need to learn for a job, and other people just want to learn because I just want to be able to send emails to my grandchildren or something like that. So depending on what people want, is how deep we can go into stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that 12 weeks, it can have the option of either continuing for another 12 weeks or, you know, even at a rest. But what I've found now is when I first started, it was very much people wanted a 12-week block. Now, people will ring me up and say, how do I send an email on my iPhone? Can you show me how to do that? Or can you show me how to add an event on Calendar? And so now it's a lot more. People tend to just want one session and they want to know a particular thing.
I think that's the way a lot of training has gone. I remember when I started, it wasn't uncommon to have a 5-day course, which was very intensive on a particular thing. But when you think about it now, people are far more used to going to YouTube and saying, how do I do X?
Yeah.
And training's become that way. They want to come to you and say, maybe with a list of 5 or 6 things, these are things at the end of it I need to know.
Yeah.
And I think that gives them a little bit more confidence that they're not going to be sat there through 75% of it and not need it and get bored.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, because there's a lot of stuff which you don't need to know. Maybe if you're working, you do, but if you just want to, you know, a lot of times you just want to know something quickly, and I can do that, I can explain to people. I actually have one chap, he's just bought an iMac, not an iMac, the laptop, MacBook Pro, and he was having some problems, and we were able to use FaceTime with him using his screen reader, me on my iMac. And we were sort of working out how to do it together on our respective computers.
That is a good way to work, though, isn't it?
It was. It was brilliant. You know, it really worked really well.
When we, when Mike was president at the Catanians, our charity was the guide dogs. And they said that they would, we needed at the beginning of the year to have some kind of session so everybody knew what the charity was. If they've got a kind of connection, you get more money through the year. So it was like, I said to Mike, well, obviously, you know, we're presenters, we could do it. I said, but we need a dog. We need a guide dog.
Yeah.
So we arranged with the guide dogs that one of the people who does that locally, and they're actually trained to do it, would come out and bring his dog with him. Absolutely gorgeous dog. And the lady gave us his number, so we rang him. First of all, he was out. And then when we rang him back, he was asking for Mike's email address and Mike's phone number. And obviously, normally you would say to somebody, oh, it'll be on your screen. But we didn't know how that would work, whether it could actually read the number back. So he said, hang on a minute. And we thought, oh, he's going for a pen. And then we thought, no, that's not going to work, is it? And he had a little pocket recorder. And he said, just let me put this near the microphone, you know, near the earpiece, and then you speak it, and I'll get it later. So sometimes it's like putting a tactic in place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a range of things that people do. I mean, I have one chap who has a Braille note taker, so he can just take stuff on Braille. And this is actually the guy who I was doing that big transcription job for. Because he can have all his textbooks on his Braille reader, and he can just read them on that. And when you're speaking to him, when you can hear him taking notes in the background and this thing chuntering away to him. Mm. And, you know, I had another guy who, he was an older chap, and he just wanted something really simple. And we came up with an old-fashioned tape recorder, because that was his level of technology. Yeah. You know, was to use the old-fashioned cassette player, and just what he needs. You know, so it's brilliant.
If you could hear a cat, what is that? Something has set Alexa off. I think it's Mike. I might have to go and shut her up because Mike's doing a training course. I've no idea what he said. That one's going to have to be muted. She's the one we use for the lights. That's why it's turned on. The dog's just sat looking at her, crying out loud. Right, we've got some questions.
Yeah.
Jonathan said he's taking you on his walk. Couldn't wait to hear on catch up. So, do any software companies make it more accessible than others? Oh, hang on, that's the second one. First question. What are the easiest and hardest applications to learn?
The easiest is probably things like word processors, like Word, because, you know, it's very much text-based. So that's probably the easiest thing. Excel, the trouble with Excel is it can be quite easy to become lost, because, you know, if you're using something like a screen reader, or if you're using something like a screen magnifier, it's very easy to become disorientated. The hardest things would be anything that's graphical, so anything like desktop publishing, it can do it. It's very difficult, but it can be done. But quite a few applications are accessible. I mean, things like Adobe Audition and that kind of stuff. But really, anything that's text. And what we tend to do is, I tend to see two types of people. I tend to see people who don't, you know, who are older and are perhaps being badgered into getting a computer by their, you know, by younger relatives. And they will either go for something like an iPad, or if they want to go for a computer, well, or a simple tablet, there is very simple, very easy software to use, which basically says press 1 to send an email, press 2 to write a letter. And that's very good for people who, they want to be able to write letters, send emails, but they don't need to do it for work or anything like that, or study, they just need to do it for themselves. But if they need to do it, if they need to do it for sharing with other people, such as work, or if they're in a society or, you know, club or something like that, or they're studying, then they do need to learn how to use the likes of Access, well, Excel and, you know, Word, that kind of stuff.
And Jonathan's second question was, do any software companies make it more accessible than others?
Apple have always been excellent when it comes to accessibility. From reading Steve Jobs' autobiography, I think he did quite a lot of work with blind people in his younger days, and he always had that ethos that the product should be accessible. And that means that a lot of stuff has been built from the ground upwards to be accessible, which is why, you know, things like the iPhone, the iPads are so good for people who are visually impaired. Whereas for Android, these things have been bolted on afterwards. Android and Windows, accessibility has been bolted on afterwards as an afterthought. So really, that's one of the reasons why I like Apple products so much, is because they've got that sort of accessibility built in right from the start.
I was going to ask, is it easier for somebody with a visual impairment to work with a laptop or an iPad? And my logic was, with an iPad, the keyboard changes. So if you like inadvertently touch it, all of a sudden you could be typing on emojis. Whereas with a laptop, the keys are static. So they're predictably in a location.
I think it depends. It depends what they're doing. And also depends what the past experience is with. A lot of people who are visually impaired will go for the... It depends how much sight they've got as well, of course. So for somebody who has got very little or, you know, hardly any sight, they might be better off going for the iPhone, because they don't need that big screen. But yeah, the laptop is, it, I would probably say a laptop is a bit easier for people to use, because obviously the keyboard doesn't change, and, you know, you still have to learn your way around it. But I would probably say it's difficult, really, because actually once you work your way around the iPhone, that's fairly, there's a lot of people who use the iPhone very successfully, even though they don't have any vision.
I've used a little bit of the options that are there. I wanted it to read Kindle books out, and it didn't have that feature. But if you turned on the accessibility, you could persuade it to do it page by page. And I found it very usable, but obviously I could see what I was doing.
One of the things with the iPad is that when you're using a screen reader on the laptop, you have no idea where you are on the screen. You know, you don't know. For example, you might always know that the back button's in the top left-hand corner on your browser. But of course, if you don't know whereabouts you are on the screen using the keyboard, then it's hard to get there. Whereas it's fairly easy to say to somebody, well, if you go to the top of the screen, bring your hand down slightly, at the side and it's there. Or when we used to have the home button, you will start up at the bottom and then move, you know, say, well, the home button's at the bottom. Now move your finger upwards until you get onto the screen and you're on the dot. So from that point of view, it's quite good because people can actually say, well, I know that that button is there. You know, I know it's in that position on the screen.
I wonder if they'll ever be able to provide a kind of better feedback, basically Braille, with the haptic feedback. Because they are talking about putting a fingerprint recognition thing under the glass. Now, I think that's basically to do with COVID. But I wonder if that could be used in a different way to give more direct feedback.
It would be very interesting. I mean, Braille displays, somebody has finally brought out a relatively low-cost Braille display at around £400, which, you know, to everybody else isn't low-cost, but when you consider that these sort of products normally cost anywhere from £3,000 to £6,000, that's making it more accessible. But, of course, the problem with Braille is that anything to do with Braille is very expensive. But it would be easy, it would be interesting to see if it could ever bring something that's a bit more tactile.
Yeah, I think that would be good. We've heard from Sarah, who says she's got the same problem with software training. You can go on a full day course, but only one or two things are useful.
Yeah.
Everyone's levels nowadays are so different. And I got to agree with that. I remember doing lots and lots of intro courses, and we're talking at the basics of this is DOS. And now look, we've put Windows on top of it. And then obviously you've got your other stuff to put on that. Renee says, I've taught video editing to prosumers and it was fun. Now Simon says, I've had to supply music files to people in XML format in the past, so specialists can translate it into Braille music. I found that fascinating and I would have loved to have seen the final result. Not that I'd have been able to understand it. So how do you handle that in terms of taking things to music?
I don't know. There's lots of different. With Braille, there's lots of different types of Braille. So you have standard. There's two grades of Braille to start off with. Grade one, which is the simplest form. So in grade one, one cell of dots, of six dots, represents one character. So for example, a letter. One letter represents one cell. Then you have what's known as literary Braille, which is whole untracted Braille. And that will, to save space, because obviously if you're using one character, it takes up an awful lot of space. So what they do is they untract it, so you can represent the word the in one cell, rather than having to represent it in three cells. So there's lots of different types of Braille. There's also a scientific form of Braille, and there's also mathematical Braille, and there is a music Braille. I would suspect with music Braille, you would record it as a MIDI file, and then you would feed the MIDI file into the Braille translation software. And that would then display. That would then produce the music Braille.
That's amazing.
But I don't know, because I've never actually done it. But I would suspect that's how you would do it. It would be some sort of MIDI file, I think.
It makes sense to have different kinds of Braille, but I did not know that. You think of Braille as being Braille?
There's also computer Braille. So computer
is this
Braille.
Programming or just to use it?
Yeah. So for programming or also to use it, so for example, with computer Braille, you tend to have an extra, a display can have an extra, rather than your normal six dots, you can have eight dots. Mm. And the two dots at the bottom row, can signify different things, such as whether something's in bold or whether it's a capital letter. Because in normal Braille, there's no capitals. You know, everything's just lowercase. But if you're programming, you there are times when you do need to say, this is a capital.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Markdown. how there's different flavours of Markdown. So yeah, it does make total sense that. Right, what have we got here? Renee said, I once had a blind colleague who did CRM for our company. He was flawless. I was impressed. And Kim says, is Alexa making cat noises? Yes, is the short version of that. I'm going to investigate that later. Right, what have we got? Tracy says, have the utmost respect for visually impaired people. Dr. B's friend lost both eyes to cancer at 3 or 4 years old. On her first visit to our house at 13, I guided her up the stairs once, and when she needed to go down, she skipped and jumped all the way. I nearly had a heart attack. I guess it is what you get used to.
Yes, yeah.
I had a friend whose daughter was blind, and she went to the theatre. They travelled down from Scotland to go to this theatre. And she loved it so much. She already had an English degree. She ended up doing theatre studies for two, 3 years. And then she came back to the same theatre as an assistant stage manager. And she had, I don't know where they were from, but it was somebody that provided this, like a guide to be with her, not to do the job, just literally to navigate the theatre. So I don't think it was, she never had a guide dog. So it certainly wasn't the guide dogs for the blind.
No,
so I don't know who else would provide that.
Well, you can't yet. There is funding called Access to Work. And Access to Work will provide funding for equipment. So one of the main barriers of getting visually impaired people into employment isn't the fact that there isn't equipment there or the ability there for them to be able to do the job. It's actually the, you know, employers think, you know, a blind person can't do that. Well, there is funding which can help buy equipment, and in your friend's case, have a sighted guide. This person won't do the job, but they might do parts of the job where you need a pair of eyes. So if there's a part of her job that, you know, she has to maybe look at how the lighting is, somebody can describe, well, this is how the lighting's set up, or this is how the stage is laid out, or something like that. That's the sort of thing that the guide would do, and sort of just give you that extra information.
Mm. I've got a couple more comments here. When the iPhone 4 came out, this is Tracy, she was dying to try the accessibility features, so came to our house to test mine. So what was the first iPhone like? Well, there was three, wasn't there? There was the very first one, which did very little. Then there was the 3G, and then there was the 4. No, the 3GS.
Yeah,
the 4. So this would have been the fourth gen.
Yeah, the 3G, I can't remember about the first two. But the 3GS did have the screen reader on it. Now, at the time, in around 2005, the RNIB brought out a accessible mobile phone. Now, this was in the times when mobile phones didn't do a lot anyway, but you could at least send text messages and take low quality photographs with them. And this product cost £400. It looked like a TV remote control. It didn't have a screen on it. It just looked really weird. And it could make and receive calls. And that was about it. So when the iPhone came out, of course, we had quite a few people saying, well, that's not good for us then, is it, if it's a touch screen? But of course, Apple had already thought about that and put a screen reader on it. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, they'd actually had a screen reader on the iPods. So some of the iPod Classics, I think, and the iPod Nanos actually did have a screen reader on them. And it was partly because people were walking along looking at their iPods and walking into walls. So they put a screen reader on it. They put voiceover on it. And of course, that was then the technology that they translated onto the iPhone. So, you know, the iPhone at £400 at the time, I think it was 400, the 3GS.
Yeah, it was about 380,
400. Yeah, and you consider what the iPhone 3GS could do in comparison to this brick that was an accessible mobile phone at the same price. You know, and you just think, this is probably one of the biggest differences has been the fact that people now have access to a lot more mainstream technology. So back in 2003, when this phone came out, you as a visually impaired person had to pay an awful lot of money to access this product and access specialised products rather than just mainstream products. And the problem with specialised products is you have to go to specialised people if you have a problem. Mm. One of the things that, if you have an iPhone, most people know how an iPhone works. You know, it's fairly easy to find somebody who's got one. So if you're having a problem with your iPhone, the chances are you can ask your friend, you know, why does this keep happening? And they'll be able to tell you. Yeah. Whereas if you have some specialised piece of equipment, you know, there's very few people who can tell you. You know, and that's one of the things that HOST has come down amazingly, you know, from having to pay, they always used to call it the blind tax, because basically you then have to pay, you know, £200 or £300 on top of your initial purchase price to make the thing accessible.
That is actually shocking, isn't it? And I think
it's
good that sighted people like me actually do now think that's shocking, whereas before we just wouldn't know.
No.
I think now we are more aware. Now, we've got a question from Jonathan. He says, 3,000 to 6,000 is a huge amount for a display. Are grants available to people who need this equipment?
If you're working, or if you're going, you know, if you're starting a new job, or if you're going to university, then you can get funding for it. But if you're just wanting it, then, you know, basically you either have to pay for it yourself, or there may be organisations who may be able to help. So if people have been, for older people, if they've been involved in military service, they might be able to get help through charities like Blind Veterans who do grants, or maybe if people have had, if people have worked in certain industries, like fire service, that kind of stuff. Sometimes there is a benevolent fund that they can access. But in general, unless you're either starting work or going to university, no, you have to pay for it yourself, unfortunately.
That is bad news, given the price of it.
Yeah.
Tracy's got a question. She says she's always wondered how accented letters are represented in Braille.
But different languages will have their own Braille alphabet, so they would have a specific cell. It may be, and I don't know because I've never done it, but certainly with numbers, you have basically a backwards, what looks like a backwards L, and then the next character, you know, is a number. So I'm guessing there might be a similar thing for accented letters, or I say it may be that it's just part of that alphabet for that language.
That's made me think, Tracy. My dad was brilliant with Morse code, and yet I don't remember. See, you know, he had posters and cards lying around with it on there, and I don't remember any opportunity to represent a letter in a different way if it had an accent on it. So that's a very good question, Tracy. We'll have to look at that. Alex says, after World War II, servicemen blinded during the war were trained as physiotherapists. I did not know that either.
I have. I know. I have quite a few students who are physios. One of the advantages is that they have is that physiotherapy is a very tactile, very tactile occupation, and for feeling muscles and that kind of stuff. In fact, this guy who I'm doing this transcription job for, he's a sports physiotherapist, and he does massage and all that kind of stuff. So that's partly what he's wanting transcribing. Although I think he's going into a lot of the stuff he's asked for recently is to do with mindfulness and that kind of stuff. So he's obviously going into a slightly different area.
But compatible with it.
Yeah.
Varying what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, now Tracy says the same blind young lady has been certified interpreter-translator living in Germany for many years. Maybe she would know the answer to that question, Tracy. Need to ask. We need to find out. Jonathan's horrified. He said it's not right that you have to pay the additional cost. You understand why it costs more, but it shouldn't fall to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of the difficult things with the job because, we don't just show people computers. I mean, we do things like talking clocks, talking watches, talking thermometers, all different types of stuff. And they are, more expensive than perhaps the equivalent product that doesn't. But it's certainly when you're looking at some of the things like the electronic magnifiers. I mean, some of the technology is absolutely amazing. I mean, you can buy an electronic magnifier, which is basically a piece of equipment that sits on the desk, looks a bit like a computer monitor with a camera, and it will OCR a document and reformat it, change the colours on it, read a document out to you. But you're looking at anywhere from £700 to £3,000.
That is shocking.
You can get handheld electronic magnifiers, and you're still looking at about, £100 to £500. But of course, if you have a smartphone like the iPhone, there's a magnifier built into it. It's not as good as a dedicated magnifier, but it's a lot better than not having it.
Well, even I have reasonable eyesight. Used to be perfect, but I'm getting older, and I get something silly like a hard drive case, and you're looking at the instructions, thinking, I probably don't need the instructions. We're going to have a look at them. I think the last thing I got was a clock, bedside clock, which charges my iPhone as well. And I took the manual out and the print was that small. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I could put my stronger glasses on and it still wasn't that clear. So I picked up my phone and I zoomed in and I took a photo and I read it on my phone. So, yeah, the stuff that's there, normally you might not be using it in that way, but I can imagine if you have a need, it's there. It's not perfect, but yeah, it works and it gets a job done.
Well, the magnifier on the iPhone also has image intensification, which basically means, depending on what eye condition you have, you may see certain colour combinations better than others. So a lot of people with age-related macular degeneration will see white text on a black background easier than black text on the white background. And one of the things that the magnifier on the iPhone can do, and is standard, a standard feature on, dedicated magnifiers, is this ability to, change the colour of text on the page and make it easier for people to read. And it's amazing that is now available on your phone.
Yeah. It's good that
there's also an app called Seeing AI. And Seeing AI can do things like it can read currency. So if I put a £5 note and then hold my phone over it, it will say £5. Or it can do things such as read the barcode off a tin of beans. So if I show my phone a tin of beans and you can see the barcode, it will announce what that product is. So if you're trying to find something in your kitchen cupboards, you know, or even something like tell you what colour something is. So you make sure you've got the right matching clothes on, that kind of stuff.
It's
amazing what something like smartphones are now able to do. And in a sense, yes, you've got to buy the smartphone, but of course you're paying the same price for that as everybody else. Although if you are a bit sneaky, you can go into the Apple store and say, can I get VAT off this? And sometimes it works.
Well, that's good.
You're not entitled to VAT off if you're blind and buying an iPhone, because, you know, an iPhone's a standard product available for everybody. But sometimes it does work.
Good to know. Well, to be honest, Apple do give quite a discount to a lot of people. They've got the NHS discount, education. AstraZeneca have got some deal going with them. So I feel with Apple, there's very few people that are forced into a position that they get zero discount.
Yeah.
There'll always be some kind of discount. So it's definitely worth asking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was reading a story about Gary O'Donoghue, who is a BBC journalist. And I think he's fantastic. He's always on the ball. Obviously, he's blind, so you never see him refer to his notes. He is on the ball all the time. What I didn't realise was he'd been at the BBC for a long time. He'd worked on radio. And when he moved to the TV, he got a scoop. This was about 2008, 2007, something like that. The scoop he got was that Gordon Brown, who was Prime Minister for 5 minutes, was coming back from his holiday, cancelling it because of some foot and mouth issue. And he got the scoop. And he did it on the radio, I think. And when it came to the 10 o'clock news, whoever was in charge of the 10 o'clock news said they weren't letting him on air to do it, which is appalling. But obviously now he's the correspondent for Washington. So he's one of the top reporters on the BBC. So unfortunately, he actually had to take them to court over that. And he won. But he's still there. And now he has one of the top jobs. I mean, it just shouldn't be an issue, should it?
No. And there's already Radio 4 have a programme called In Touch. And the chap who presents that is blind, and he's worked his way up. I mean, he was, I can't think what the guy's name was now. Let me just have a look. I've got his autobiography in here. What his name is. But he basically started working for the BBC in the 60s, I think it was. No, I can't find it. I think it was Barry White, I can't remember though. And he would go everywhere, and he would say that he used to, when he was in the studio, he would put his hand on the light bulb so he knew when they were on air.
Yeah.
And he used to use the old Ewart tape recorders, and apparently one of the engineers had said to him, you know, your sound mixing is always perfect. I'm always telling our engineers, listen to the sound, don't look at the monitors. Yeah, so they have had blind presenters on the BBC, but I suppose it's just employers' attitudes rather than people's ability which holds people back more.
I think some of the people with the power just want perfect.
Yeah.
This was a guy, Daniel Pearl, and he was the deputy editor. And he is quoted as saying, I want a proper political correspondent on screen. I don't want him on screen, which is appalling. The guy is brilliant. And that attitude, I think, whether people are still thinking it, I don't think they'd say it quite as easily now.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that. So hopefully those days are long gone. Right. Tracy says being a physio was the standard outlet for visually impaired people in Spain, but our blind friend was pushed towards it and she refused. Good for her. Dug her heels in and studied languages interpretation instead. I mean, no one should be pushed to anything.
No.
Just because you may have Well, actually, you know, you could be. Can you imagine me being a physiotherapist? You know me in my personal space. That's not going to work. I don't want to be hands-off with people. You know, and just because you have what somebody else considers an impairment, why should you be forced into one particular area? You should be able to do exactly what you want.
I mean, we're fortunate that we now live in an age where technology is so liberating, you know, for so many people. That, you know, people can pretty much do whatever they want because technology has made things so much more accessible now than it used to be. You know, it's amazing when you think what people can now have access to, which wasn't available, you know, even 30, 40 years ago. Mm. It is quite amazing.
That's why I have no patience when it comes to January and we have the Consumer Electronics Show. And the like the toilets, remember the baths,
yeah.
The self-filling baths and the warm water toilet. And I'm like, really? That is for the 0.001% who are stupid enough to pay for it. I would much rather people put their efforts into creating things that made a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And a self-filling bath, not going to do it. Of course, we might have to make an exception for Jonathan's eye kettle.
But the thing is that something at some point everybody needs, you know, at some point everybody has some form of disability.
Mm.
You know, so when I think there used to be an attitude of, well, what's the point of putting all this, you know, work into making our building accessible or making our app accessible or making our product accessible. It's such a tiny market. But in reality, if you do a design, if you work accessibility into your product or work accessibility into your design, you're making that better for everybody. You know, if you have a building and, you know, there's a ramp going into that building, you might, you know, you right. The law says you have to do it now, but there may have been an attitude at one point which said, "Well, we don't get any wheelchair users coming in, so why do we need a ramp?" Mm. Yeah, but you might get people coming in with shopping trolleys. You might get, you know, parents coming in with buddies. You know, that technology benefits everybody.
I can't understand when people don't do it.
Yeah,
we went to a golf club locally. 2016 now, and it was when Kath and Joe, who were on by request with us, had their presidential year, and this place was gorgeous. The views were amazing. Everything was wonderful. So Mike and I had virtually decided that in our P year we would maybe not have President Sunday there, but we would have an event there. And then I think this would have been 6 months after Mike agreed to be VP. So we'd been discussing it for 6 months and Ellen had a stroke and she ended up in a wheelchair. And it could have been a temporary thing, but it's turned into a permanent thing. So when we checked the venues, it wasn't accessible. And I said to Mike, don't be ridiculous. It's a legal requirement. And the experiences that we had vicariously, you know, we're not with Ellen every day, but honestly, every time we are, there's some stupid issue. We went the first time, we went up to a Warner Leisure Hotel and they put us in the furthest corner of the dining room. So every time we went in, she had to be lifted up 4 steps, which, you know, nobody there who was fit enough to do it minded, but it's not fair on her.
Yeah.
That was the first place. The second one, it said it had an accessible bathroom. And there was a shower cubicle, but it was 6 inches off the floor and it didn't take a wheelchair. But this particular venue, I said, don't be ridiculous, ring them back. You know, it's a legal requirement. And they said, yes, it is, except for private members clubs. And that's what we are. And I'm thinking, but, you know, the average age of somebody who's a golfer is going up and up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a young man's sport, put it like that, or a young lady's sport. So I thought putting a lift in would be logical. And she said, well, it did go to the committee and they did take a vote on it. And they decided that none of the members needed it, so they weren't spending money on it. And I was speechless. I was. So she said,
but
so
they
well,
might attract new people.
They
you
might.
Yeah, and because if you're letting your place out as a venue, it's a lot easier to lug your equipment, you know, into a lift and upstairs than, you know, lugging it up a flight of stairs, even if you rather ridiculously say you don't get people who use wheelchairs. Well, I'm sure if the chairman of the golf club had a stroke and ended up needing a wheelchair, I'm sure the lift would be very quickly put in.
Yeah, that was the point. So, yes, carrying stuff upstairs, but you could even the youngest, fittest person could have broken their leg while skiing or something. So she said, so it's the last week in June, isn't it? And I said, no, we're not booking. And she was really shocked. And I thought, no, if we can't have equal access for all, then we're not going. And it was tricky. Because, you know, there was many times, I mean, the one that was just up three steps was easy by comparison to another one local where there was about 15 steps at the front of the place. And again, she had to be carried up. I mean, it's just unseemly. That's apartheid as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So we just decided if there was any issues whatsoever, we weren't going there. So we really had to limit where we went, which, again, shocking. Oh, Mike's back. Did you set that cat off?
No.
It wasn't me because I was listening to Anthony.
I thought it was Lola.
No.
I came out, I thought she had a problem.
No, Mike, it wasn't a dog, it was a cat. You said something and then the A lady replied and then before I knew it, she started meowing.
I could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Lola. Oh. Lola was looking at her as though, who let that cat in? Anyway, say hello to Anthony.
Hello, Anthony.
He can't hear you at the moment, but he can say hello. Right, what have we got in the chat in terms of other questions? Ooh, Kim says the Veterans Administration will help with devices for visually impaired veterans. That is good to know. And Kim also needs to use a magnifier to read the labels. I am with you on that one. Simon says Peter White, which I think
yes,
you did say, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
I heard Alexa say something.
She said something and then she meowed like a cat, which set the dog off. And I'm trying to do a live show here and I knew you couldn't do anything.
And I'm trying to do a live webinar.
Oh, the A-Lady. Fabulous.
I mean, something like the A-Lady, you know, that has made such a difference to a lot of people because they can now say, oh, play me. I better not say it because I'll set mine off and everybody else's off. But, you know... So-and-so, set off, play me, you know, such-and-such music, or, you know, what, just asking her what time it is, or just asking her, because there is a way of calling people on it, and sort of saying, oh, you know, call such-and-such, or just getting news, or asking
I
her for information.
I could imagine that being very liberating.
Yeah.
Well, a few weeks ago, I was doing a one-to-one session with somebody, and he says to me, oh, sorry about that, my Siri just said something.
Do you remember when that happened in Parliament? Somebody said something and the guy's iPhone started talking to him in the chamber. No, I mean, we do have a laugh with them, and Ours on the Landing has a mind of her own.
Oh,
she's possessed.
Does.
But overall, what you can get them to do now is amazing.
Yeah,
turn the lights on and off.
Turn the lights on and off unless you've got an internet problem.
Yes.
In which case you just stand there thinking, where was the switch again? There was a switch on these lights, wasn't there? And you then feel so completely helpless. Right. Kim's roommate when she was in college taught the visually impaired to snow ski. That's amazing. That takes courage on any level.
I mean, there's a lot of sports.
Well.
There is a lot of sports that people are able to do, such as blind tennis, because you have like a little, you have some sort of sound inside the ball. There's football, there's all that kind of stuff, and you know, so there are various different sports that, you know, blind people can take part in. There was one chap who actually flew a Cessna airplane because you actually you actually don't particularly need to see out of the aeroplane to fly. As long as you've got something telling you certain information, like altitude and that kind of stuff, you can actually fly an aeroplane. I think it needed, you know, somebody to land and take off. But the actual once you're up there, the actual flight, he was actually able to do that, you know, on his own using speech synthesis, which was telling him, you know, sort of information pilots need to know while they're flying.
That's amazing. Amazing. Simon says golf isn't really a sport, though, is it? It's a bit like darts on grass.
Yeah, it's a bit.
I've got to agree, Simon. I'm not a huge fan.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? The people who tend to go for it are a bit weird.
Football, I can imagine, would be easier than tennis. I've seen them play football with, like you say, there's like a bell inside the ball. And the way that it rolls inside the ball, you can kind of tell the direction of the ball. But tennis must be a nightmare. I'm impressed with tennis. I couldn't even begin to think about tennis. And Kim says her mum needs a ramp, and some places the ramp's so steep she can't use it. That's the thing. I think the best solutions come from people who haven't needed them all their lives, and then all of a sudden they do.
Yeah.
And then they start to put a lot more effort into thinking it through. And Kim uses the A-Lady to set the temperature in the house. Oh, we haven't got that advanced, Kim. We've not got the A-Lady beyond meowing like a cat. We have to see what was said to make her do that. And Alex says, golf clubs are a law unto themselves anyway. A few clubs don't have women in the clubhouse, never mind the lift.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, if you're at the stage where you haven't actually decided that women are equal to men, you're quite a long way down the evolutionary scale to actually deciding that disabled people are equal, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. There's a golf club locally, not the same one. This one does have a lift, but you're not actually allowed to use it. But anyway, the ladies are allowed in, and there is in there. So they have the men's team and the ladies' team. So you think, well, that looks fairly okay. Until you get in the bar. And all I wanted was a glass of water, and ladies aren't allowed to order at the bar.
Oh.
And I remember standing there thinking, really?
What?
Yeah, ladies are not allowed to order at the bar. That's North Cheshire, isn't it? So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, I want a glass of water. What am I supposed to do? Grab the nearest bloke?
Yeah.
So Mike came in and said, you okay? And I said, no, I want a glass of water. So he said, well, go and get a glass of water. I said, it's not that simple. So when Mike went to get a glass of water, he came back with three and said, just in case you get more thirsty. But yeah, that's not ideal. They do have a lift there, don't they? Mm. I remember Ellen trying to get in it. It was the size of a thimble. So Stuart had to wheel her in facing the wall. And then Stuart had to kind of squeeze in next to her. And then they got up to the top floor, and then it was like, well, you put your foot there and I'll wheel that bit back there. Why they just didn't put a bigger one in, I don't know. You would have struggled to get a bigger wheelchair in.
Yeah.
The ones where they've got extra stuff on them. I doubt it would. You would have got it in, which is just, why bother? Because then you're going to get criticised for the fact that, well, there's a lift, but it's not actually fit for purpose.
Yeah.
But they can say, well, there was actually a lift. And then Simon comes back and he's saying, they even get a little cart between the holes. It's like getting a taxi between the hurdles. But Simon, the little cart's the best bit. I would love to ride on the little cart. Oh, and Tracy's grandpa's golf club didn't admit women. So Tracy had to stay outside. Grandpa always brought me a cold drink. Let me use his clubs on the putting green.
You can't imagine it, can you? You know.
No, I think now it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
There are places that are still like that. And when it comes to accessibility, you know, even more so. Even more so. But you are doing grand work there. It's amazing. And I'm glad it's getting easier and you've got more options as well.
Yeah.
Have you finished the big transcription job?
He just rung me up this morning. Yes, I finished that one, but he just rung me this morning and said, can I send you another book this weekend?
There's no rest for the wicked, is there? Well, it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Yeah, thank
you. Absolutely amazing, the work that you do. Hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely, lovely to talk to you.
All right, we'll talk again soon,
I promise.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye, Anthony. Talk soon.
Bye. Cheers, Anthony.
Well, that was amazing, wasn't it? Mm. Oh, love that. Mike's going to have to catch up.
Yeah.
Jonathan went out for his walk, but he took us with him.
I know. Read up.
Mike's caught up on the chat. There you go. It was fantastic to talk to you, Anthony. So who's going to volunteer next? Renee said, no way. No way, Jose. Oh, the cat could have a starring role. Yes. So if you've got something that you would like to talk about, you think we'd all be interested in, I guarantee you we would all be interested in it, then just let me know. Like Simon and your music. Just saying. So, but I'm not going to nominate anybody. Just let us know. Let us know and volunteer, and then we can do that. Tracy was going to come on and talk about something at one point, but Mr. T decided it would be a good idea to take her somewhere, which, on reflection, no. Can't that wait, because Tracy needs to be with us. Tracy's not sure what she'd talk about. How about moving to Spain? There you go. Because at one point you lived here, and I can imagine how, well, I guess it was less significant if you can speak the language. But when I went to other countries, the cultures are so different. So cultural things would be fascinating. Oh, Kim says you're not that interesting. Of course you are. You've got all about the dental stuff to talk about, which is, I find that infinitely fascinating. So have a ponder, everybody. You could just take questions or tell us about your tech. You know, what? Not particularly, well, what you've got now, but how you got where you are. So my first computer up to where you are now. You see? Plenty of things to talk about. Right, I'm going to disembowel the Alexa. Sorry, the A-Lady. If I set anybody's off, I apologise. The A-Lady. We do need the Navy anecdotes, particularly the ones about the flea-ridden mattress. Oh, no. See, I'm thinking, my only exposure to the Navy is NCIS. And pretty much, have you noticed all of the Marines are pretty much dead by the time they get onto NCIS, apart from Gibbs? So we need to know more about it. There you go. Sarah said she'd be too nervous. Well, we could always pre-record it if you'd be nervous, Sarah. So don't say no. We need to know about, what was that one? Dominant Dog Down or whatever it was. It was Lola. Yeah. And whatever it is when she's on her back kicking her legs about.
Do you remember Timmy Mallett?
I do. DJ.
When he was on Piccadilly. Before he became globally famous. He had this jingle, and it was, "Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're our teenage guest disc jockey now."
I can imagine you going for that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, what was wrong there, Mike?
And then there was Cupid on a Sunday afternoon with Gary Davis, where somebody would write in because they'd seen somebody that they fancy on a bus or at a bus stop, and they'd describe them. They wouldn't know the name because they'd never talked to them.
I think I see where this is heading.
So if you were the blonde girl wearing blue jeans on the 261 bus on Sunday afternoon,
get
in touch with us.
Oh, no.
Because Fred fancies you.
Oh. This explains why I didn't listen to this thing. There you go. Exactly, Alex. Cringe, cringe. Do you know, I'm liking the idea of this chair yoga. Chair yoga meaning not having to get into silly positions that I'll never get out of. Oh, yes, I could definitely go that, Sarah. I could. In fact, I was on a webinar today and yoga was mentioned. And I'm like, yeah, I know that bit. Because I've seen pictures. Right. So shall we have some dinner?
We shall.
Now you've finally finished your webinar. Yeah. After we've disemboweled the A-Lady. I'm going to turn the A-Lady off. Don't know how we're going to deal with the lights. That one on the landing just has super sensitive hearing.
Mm.
But when it started meowing, I thought I was actually going to have to get up and turn it off.
No.
Because it went on and on and on. I did hear your door, but I didn't realise you'd actually come out.
Yeah. I thought she was having a fit or something.
Well, if she sounded like that, she would be having a fit, wouldn't she? Because she's a dog, Mike.
Yes, but it just sounded screechy to me. Didn't sound like a cat.
Well, can I just say, bedroom?
I have my headphones.
Bedroom windows open, so technically a cat could have got in. Oh well, then a cat couldn't have got in, unless it's through the letterbox. Yeah, it wasn't Lola. She was being good for a change. Why did it meow? Well, what happens, Kim? This one on the landing just has super sensitive hearing. You could be stood right next to one of the others and say, "Hey, lady, turn off the bathroom light." And you could be there for 20 minutes arguing with her while she says, "Oh, right, I get you. I've turned off the bathroom light." But the one on the landing, she's just got super sensitive hearing. So she will hear Mike say a word. I have no idea what you could have said, the answer to which was, "Yes, Mike, I'll meow like a cat." But she literally started meowing. It'll be on the audio here. So I'll play it back for you, Mike. Sometimes she's like, the majority of the time, if she picks something up from when one or other of us is training, it'll be, "I'm sorry, I don't know that." But whatever Mike said this time, which, do you utter a line along the lines of, "A lady meow like a cat"?
No, I didn't think so.
Well, I don't know what she's heard, but that was what in her mind she heard. There you go. When I work it out, Sarah, I'll let you know. Meet up here again tomorrow. Oh, it's Two Show Friday.
On the Blasted Heath.
On the Blasted Heath for Two Show Friday. And I will reveal how and why the A-lady was going mental. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And a good night from me.
And a huge, huge thank you to Anthony. And we'll see you next time. Stay safe, guys.